If you will, please take your Bibles and let's stand as we turn in Philippians chapter 1. We are going to read one verse today, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is God's holy word. Please be seated. Have you ever noticed that every New Year's Day, and leading up from Christmas, I guess, until New Year's, and then throughout the entire month of January, that television is full of advertisements for diet programs, weight loss programs, diet pills, exercise programs, exercise equipment, and health spas. And the reason for that is people make New Year's resolutions, and it seems that in this country that many of those New Year's resolutions have to do with losing weight and getting in shape. Now, the industry's aware of that, and that's why these ads show up at that particular time of year. You don't see them quite as much until it's time then to get ready for bathing suit season, and then they begin to show up again. But at particular times during the year, there are things like this, and it's over and over again. And one of the reasons is, and perhaps you've done this, you have the very best of intentions to lose weight this year or to exercise this year, and you start out and you do well for a while, and then all of that good intention falls by the wayside and you sort of give up or quit or don't do it as often, or and pretty soon you don't do it at all. Why is that? That's because as sinners, we don't do well in persevering in things that are tough. So how can, if that's the case, and it is, how can the Apostle Paul say, I am sure of this, that he is sure that the Philippian Christians will persevere in their commitment to him and in the Christian faith to the very end? How can he know that that's going to take place? He's encouraged by the continued support that he has received from these Philippian Christians. He's already told us that. He knew that this work was a work of God and that because of that, it would be done. And that's really the foundation for his understanding of everything. So what we see here is this: there's a specific work that God had begun in the Philippian church. And Paul is convinced that it will continue, and from that we see a principle that helps us understand something. A principle that helps us understand why the perseverance of the saints works, why it's true. The Bible is full of exhortations to persevere to the very end. The Bible is full of all kinds of encouragement and things like that to tell us to keep on going in the Christian faith. But how do we know it's going to happen? The reason that we know it's going to happen is because behind our perseverance is the work of Almighty God who does not fail. And so that's what we're looking at today, is we're looking at the perseverance of the saints and why it works because God's behind it. God began a work in you. God began a work in the Philippians. I am sure of this, Paul writes, that he who began a good work in you. Paul was certain that God had begun this good work in the Philippians. How did he know? Well, he knew because they had an interest in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew because he was convinced of this partnership that they had with him in the gospel. He's already told him, I see that everywhere, over and over again. They had demonstrated their partnership with Paul in the spread of the gospel of Christ. And he knew that this partnership with him and his relationship with them would continue. How could he be so confident? Well, he knew that the initiation of their fellowship with him was not of his doing. Paul was not a mega church super pastor like we have today. Paul established churches all over the Roman world, and there were thousands of Christians who came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through his ministry and because of his ministry. But Paul did not set out a signpost that said, "The Apostle Paul Missionary Inc.," and have people actually hang on to him. The only thing Paul would ever say along those lines was, "Follow me as I follow Christ." I'm setting an example. You need to follow Christ, and I'll show you the way. But he did not try, and he did not want to have a personal following. So he knew that in the Philippian church, the reason that there was fellowship with these folks was not of his doing. He was not trying to establish an Apostle Paul church in Philippi. He wanted the church to be attached to Jesus. So he knew it wasn't his doing. He knew that this fellowship and the initiation of this fellowship was not of their doing either. When he came, there were no followers of Jesus Christ that he could find. They were not out serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and they didn't say, "Oh, here's a fellow Christian, come on in." No, they didn't. There was not a church there that he was invited to. He went and found people who were worshiping God according to the Old Testament, and he preached the gospel to them, and they were converted to Christ. But they did not initiate this fellowship with him. The initiation of the fellowship was of God's doing. That's how Paul could be confident that it would continue. God started it, God was going to continue it, and God was going to finish it. That's what Paul knew. God began a good work in the Philippians. God brought these folks to himself through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, by the Apostle Paul, but by others as well, Silas and others who were with him. And it continued as Luke was there and as others came, but the gospel was proclaimed. And so God was the one who brought these people to himself through the gospel of Christ. He, God, established their faith, their salvation, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Paul proclaimed the gospel. He established their relationship to Paul at the same time. And Paul knew that God would continue to enable these Philippians to persevere in the Christian faith until the very end. And he knew, therefore, that God would also bring to completion this work of partnership in the gospel that he had established between Paul and these Christians until one of two things happened. Either God called Paul home, Paul died and went to be with the Lord, or the Lord Jesus came back. He knew that God would do that until one of those things happened. Now God has begun a work in you also. For I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you. There's an application to you and me as Christians today as well. You see, Paul's confidence is based on his understanding of the perseverance of the saints as it is taught in Holy Scripture. He knew exactly what God was doing. He knew what God was about in these Christians' lives. He knew that if God had begun a work in them, in their justification. Let's recall what justification is. Remember, let's just think about what our shorter catechism says about it. This is question 33. What is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein God, he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight. Why does he do that? How does he do that? Only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. God justifies us. Paul knew that God began a work in their justification, in your justification. God continues that work in your sanctification. What is sanctification? Question 35. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, wherein we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. Paul knew that was true. Paul knew that that was what the Holy Spirit was doing in the Philippians, that that's what the Holy Spirit is doing in you, that God is daily renewing you over and over and over again, enabling you to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. And Paul knew that God would complete that good work in their glorification. Now, we don't have a question that says, what's glorification? But we do have this question. What are the benefits? What benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection? At the resurrection, believers, being raised up in glory, shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment and made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. God's going to do that. He's going to bring you to that place where you are glorified. He's going to bring you to that place where there is no longer sin in you. Paul was convinced that that would take place, that God would glorify His saints. Because God has begun a good work in you in justification, God continues a good work in you in sanctification, and God will complete that good work in you in glorification. So, your confidence should rest in God. That's the whole thing. When it comes to perseverance, when it comes to the Christian life, when it comes to salvation, your confidence must always rest in God alone. Don't trust in yourself. Because I'm pretty sure from knowing me that I know you, and I know what Scripture says about you and me both, and that is we are frail and fickle. And if it were up to us, because we're sinners and we're frail, when we met the very first temptation, we would fall. Because that's what we're like. But God is faithful to us. So we can't trust ourselves. We can't ever think, I'm strong enough that I will persevere to the very end. Just think about those times that you've said, I'm going to read that book. I'm going to lose that weight. I'm going to start this exercise program. And you stopped and you haven't completed it. Think about that. You're not able to do that. This is a spiritual battle. It's harder to do this than it is to lose 100 pounds. It's harder to do this than to train for a marathon. It's harder to do this than it is to complete War and Peace and Moby Dick and all these other books that are kind of big and long. Don't trust your own faith. Yes, you have faith. Yes, faith is a gift that God gives to you, but don't trust in your own faith as though your faith is strong enough. You need God's help always. Don't trust in your spiritual growth, because Paul warns, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. Just at the point where you think, I have grown enough, I'm strong enough, this temptation is not going to affect me, that is what you're going to fall to. Don't trust your own spiritual growth. The whole point of the Bible is trust God alone. Trust God alone through Christ. Trust Him alone. God continues His work in you. God doesn't stop partway. And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it, Paul writes. Basically, God has regenerated you. He has brought you to saving faith in His Son. And He's not going to stop partway. He is going to continue to enable you to persevere to the very end. Now, you and I start things and we never get around to finish them sometimes. But God's not like that. Praise the Lord, He's not like that. God never starts something He does not finish. That's a wonderful thing about God. You can always count on Him to do what He says He's going to do. He is the one who perseveres in all that He sets out to do. And that's a great encouragement when you think about it. Because You know that if he began a good work in you, as Paul says, he's going to complete it. He is going to finish that work in you. He's not going to stop partway. And so if you have been born again, you need not fear that you will ever become lost. That's one of the great, wonderful privileges of being a Christian, one of the great promises of being a Christian. It doesn't depend upon you. It depends upon God who is faithful. Scripture teaches this throughout. Just think of these two places. John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And Romans 8. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there are other places, but those two are powerful. And they remind us that it's God who enables us to persevere. It's God who holds on to us. I've used that illustration before of teaching a child to walk and walking with a little one. And you know what it's like, dad or mom, where this little one's just beginning to learn to walk and you've got him or her by the hand and you're walking along and all of a sudden those little legs just give out. And the child starts to fall, but doesn't fall. You, sometimes, at least with me, you're kind of swinging there on the end of your arm. Now, why is that the case? Is that because that child has such a strong grip on you? No. It's because you've got a strong grip on that child. That's why God is able to say, you're going to persevere because I've got you. And nobody's going to snatch you out of my hand, and you're not going to fall and be lost because I've got you. That's why we persevere. God sanctifies you daily. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion, Paul says. The words bring it to completion really are just one word in Greek, and it indicates that God will bring about what he starts to a successful conclusion. The word means to finish, to attain a goal, to complete something. He's going to successfully conclude what he begins. The Christian life is not a life that is begun by faith, but then kept up by works. There are some folks that teach that, and they're wrong. They teach, well, you start out by faith, but now it's up to you. No, it's not. It's not up to you. It's up to God throughout. You do cooperate in sanctification, but it still is up to God throughout. You don't say, okay, God, I've got it from here. Now I can go on my own. No, never happens. The Christian life is not begun by faith and continues by works. It's always by faith from first to last. Your works do figure in, yes. It's important for you to do these things, but what are your works? Your works are a necessary fruit and proof of your saving faith and of your ongoing sanctification by the Holy Spirit. But even these good works do not ever serve as the ground or the root of your salvation. What are they? They are evidence. They're evidence. It's like evidence in a courtroom, in a trial. You're put on trial for being a Christian. Now bring forth evidence that you are a Christian, and the evidence is the good works that you do through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is proof that you are a Christian. And it's the Holy Spirit who enables you to produce this evidence in your life. And so it is God who is the one who is at work in you daily, bringing to completion what He has begun. Whereas Paul said to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. God completes this work in you. God completes what he starts. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Now, there are some folks who don't like this teaching of Scripture. I remember a number of years ago hearing of a minister who ought to believe this because it's taught in the Bible and it's taught in our confession, and the man was a Presbyterian and he should have believed it. But he fought against this one doctrine harder than anybody I've ever heard. And it was so bizarre. Why would you fight this? Well, Jim Boyce, who had been pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia a number of years ago until he went to be with the Lord, said this in his commentary on Philippians. He said, talking about men rejecting this, he said, they prefer to believe that men save themselves, that they are accepted by God on the basis of their good works or use of the sacraments, or that their final salvation depends more or less on how faithful or persevering they can be. I want us to think about that for a second. You see, the problem is none of these things is true. Men do not save themselves, for men do not seek God. Paul said to the Romans, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks after God. And that's a quote from the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament and New Testament, this is taught. It's true. Men don't seek God. If you look for men, if they appear to be seeking some type of God, it's a God of their own making. It's a God of their own choosing. It's a God that they will mold in their image who will let them get away with things that they want to do. But it's not the God of Scripture. They're not after Him. They're after some namby-pamby Santa Claus God who will give them what they want, but will never say, oh no, you shouldn't do that. They're not after the God of the Bible. So men do not seek after the true God. And if your salvation depended upon your good works, you have to remember that the Bible says that your good works, your best efforts, are not acceptable to a holy God. Isaiah said, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. Our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. Instead of being nice, white, clean, sparkling laundry, what your righteous deeds look like in the eyes of God, even the best ones that you could ever possibly do apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, they look like that oily rag that you wipe your hands on after you change the oil in your car. Think about how white that is. It's gray and brown and icky. Okay? That's what it looks like. You change the oil in your car, you wipe your hands on what used to be a nice white handkerchief, and it ain't nice and white anymore. That's what God says your best good efforts are like. Titus 3:5. He saved us. God saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So the Bible tells us, both Old Testament and New Testament, no, it's not based on our good works. It's not based on our righteousness. It's based on Christ. Sacraments are important. They are aids in our sanctification, but they do not save by themselves. Think about what the Apostle Paul said regarding the Jews who had the sacrament of circumcision. Romans 2:28-29. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter, His praise is not from man, but from God. Same thing can be said about baptism. Same thing can be said about the Lord's Supper. All of these things are aids in our growth in grace, but they do not by themselves bring us to Christ. Perseverance itself is a gift of God. It's a gift that God gives to His elect, and it's nothing that you and I can ever boast in. In Jeremiah 32, God says, I will make with them an everlasting covenant, and I will not turn away from doing good to them, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts that they may not turn from me. So who is it that places the fear of God in His people? It's God. Why is it that they don't turn away from God? It's because God has placed the fear of Him in their hearts. 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation to be revealed at the last time. Notice that last phrase, who by God's power, so it's God who's involved in this, by His power, who guards you through your faith for this salvation. So it's from God. Paul's convinced that God will complete your salvation on this last day. I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. There will never come a time when God will stop working for your salvation. Never come a time. God will not throw His hands up and say, okay, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I started, but you're just not worthy, so forget it. He's not going to do that to you, Christian. He has already done everything necessary to save you by the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. Remember what we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. For by a single offering, He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Notice that. The offering of Christ is what makes you perfect for all time, even though right at this moment in history you are being sanctified. He will continue that work in you until your death, and He will complete that work in all of His elect at the resurrection. So here's what we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to the last day, to the final judgment. And several things will happen when Christ returns. The dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, Paul reminds us. And the living will in Christ will join with them. And together we will all surround the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ for the final judgment. And all men will be raised to stand there. And you, believer, having received a glorified body in Christ, will be publicly declared forgiven and holy in Christ on that day. That's the reason for the final resurrection for believers. Is a public, universal declaration of what God has done for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not like you die and you have to wait in anxious anticipation, oh, what's going to happen to me? No, when you die, you go to your eternal reward. It's either heaven or hell. And when the final resurrection takes place, there's no change in place at all. What changes at that final resurrection is now you have a glorified body, Christian, and now you are publicly declared before the entire universe to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ for whom He died. What a great and glorious thing that we look forward to. The final goal toward which God is working in you daily is that wonderful event in which you stand before the throne of God and are declared righteous in Christ for all eternity. He began this work for you in your justification. He continues this work for you in your sanctification. And He will complete this work in you in your glorification in the Lord Jesus Christ on that last great day. Take heart. No one for whom Jesus Christ has died will ever fall short of that mark, because it is God who will save you to the very end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we rejoice in this marvelous work that Paul tells us of, this work that You do that enables us to persevere. Oh, Father, how we thank You that You are at work in us and You will not fail to complete that work. Lord, we do confess that in ourselves we are unworthy, undeserving of anything, and yet, Father, You have done everything for us. And so, Father, we thank You. We rejoice in this beautiful salvation. We rejoice in the certainty of knowing that You will enable us to persevere to the very end. And Father, we know that You will not stop until that work is complete. What a marvelous God. What a great Savior. Father, bless us to tell others of our great Savior, that they too may come to know this blessed assurance. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.